Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in and if you've been with us already, thanks for hanging around. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. 10,000 other people do. So if you get a chance to subscribe, and if you decide you don't like what we send you, then we'll take you off our list. All you got to do is say, take me off your list, and we will do that. Kirk Chaffetz is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and our good friend. He's an award-winning reporter. He built the world's first and largest global custom publishing network for the world's largest advertising agency, a company I've worked with in the past, McCann Erickson World Group. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand that's becoming one of my favorites, Thinking Inside the Box, The 12 Timeless Rules for Managing a Successful Business, and he's going to help us get back to fundamentals. Kirk, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Kirk, I really think that your book and your message is a breath of fresh air at a time when it's sorely needed. It's on the, you know, right on the threshold of coming off of a time when so many people who should have known better, maybe shouldn't have known better because they were so young, but there were some older folks who should have known better, thought that the laws of economics had been suspended, that the fundamentals of business didn't apply anymore, and that was what happened in the late 90s. And so now we're coming out of all that, and some people are starting to realize, you know what? Operating in the marketplace hasn't really changed all that much. Only the tools and the speed of change have changed. And so let's get back to fundamentals. And that's the reason I think, one of the reasons I think your book is very well timed.
Well, thank you very much. I think that the message of fundamentals, it's always a good moment to talk about fundamentals, and that's why my timing could not have been bad with this particular book. But
yeah.
But given the disasters of the past few years, and frankly the ongoing disasters, I'm in a hotel this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I picked up USA Today, which arrives free at my doorstep in this hotel, and discovered yet another apparently illegal trading scheme going on involving most of the big mutual funds in America.
Mm.
And it just seems that this notion that the rules of ordinary life are only for ordinary people is still pervasive. We have not yet learned our lesson.
Are these things that are still vestiges of the 90s, or is this new stuff?
I think that this is actually relatively new stuff.
Wow.
I
haven't heard that story.
Oh, this apparently is a very rich guy named Leonard Stern, according to USA Today. I take no responsibility for the accuracy of this report.
But send all mail and subpoenas to Kirk Chase, right. Ladies and gentlemen. care of the agency.
But this is a guy who inherited at least a big portion of the Hartz Mountain pet supply,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fortune, and he opened up a hedge fund, and he's been breaking the rules. And one of the things he's been doing is sending orders to buy mutual funds before the close of business. They get time-stamped by his cohorts inside the trading institution he's dealing with.
This is a conspiracy?
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
It's a conspiracy where everybody makes money except the average investor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another, the discovery of it appears to be another Elliot Spitzer production.
This is
the Attorney General of the state of New York.
He's been a busy little boy, hasn't he?
He sure has. But you have to give credit to the folks on Wall Street. They've given Elliot plenty of stuff to investigate.
Right. This is the Attorney General of New York. Of New York.
Yeah, of New York. So he's got Wall Street in his backyard and makes it his business to look into it. at any rate, they send through these orders before 4 o'clock when trading closes and mutual fund prices get set every day at 4 o'clock when the market closes. And the rule is, if you buy before 4 o'clock, you get the 4 o'clock price. And if you buy after 4 o'clock, you get the next day's 4 mm-hmm. o'clock price. Well, these guys sent in the order before 4 o'clock, and then they called at 4:30 after they'd seen the results and said either process it or cancel it. This is called, as USA Today said, this is like betting on a horse race after the after the finish.
I was just getting ready to say this is like having the OTB window open to you after the race is gone.
Exactly.
If the race is run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Kirk,
stand
the window
by. Hold that thought. Yeah, the average person doesn't get to do that. We're going to come right back with our good friend Kirk Chaffetz after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Kirk Chaffetz is our guest, and he is the author of Thinking Inside the Box. And Kirk, why don't you tell us where the book's available, please?
The book is, I think the easiest thing is Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Getting it online is probably the easiest. And
okay.
Everybody's got it.
Check it out also, but it's also in bookstores. It's also, if you want to order it for you, if you're devoted to your local small business bookstore, which I appreciate that. Let me spell his last name for you, Chaffetz, Chaffetz, and Kirk with a K on both ends. Kirk, you know, just as we were trying to get a little bit uplifted here, you come along and bum us out with this news. I mean, I thought things were going pretty well on Wall Street. You know, here I am wandering around in this oblivious, naive fog of mine, I guess, and I thought things were going better. We got the Sarbanes-Oxley bill. What more could you want? And
right.
And now you're bumming us out a little bit with this news.
Well, I don't mean to be a doubter, Jim. And I think that, you know, I do believe, I wrote an op-ed piece for the LA Times not too long ago that said, I don't think we've really learned our lessons yet.
Yeah. How prescient you were.
Hmm?
I said you were. Turns out you were awfully prescient.
Right. Well, again, this is a message that we'll do any day. There is larceny, you know, in the heart of some people.
Misdeeds on Wall Street is not a new thing, is it?
Exactly. And I don't think that's going to bring down the system, but it sure doesn't help it any. But
right.
Truly, the only reason I brought up this particular set of rule breakers is that what was really on my mind this morning, I have been lately blessed by running into a number of people who worked closely with Sam Walton.
Mm-hmm. Founder of Walmart.
Yes, the founder of Walmart, Mr. Sam, as he liked to be called. And this is a guy who, honestly, I didn't pay a lot of attention to. I live in New York City. That's a confession, not a boast. And one thing we don't have in New York is big stores.
Yeah.
There's no room for them.
There's not a Walmart in Midtown, folks.
There is not. You just couldn't find the place to build one. So I must confess, I've never shopped at a Walmart store.
What? Are you serious?
I am serious.
Oh, that's a cultural experience. We got to make sure you get.
That's what I understand.
And you know, you can rent an apartment and get buried there now. I think you can even get their appendicitis fixed there, too.
Well,
they got everything there now.
Well, renting the apartment sounds more attractive than the other two alternatives.
I wrote an article called Trapped in Wall World.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I would like to read that.
It's satire.
But at the bottom, you know, and I know people have made fun of Walmart, and people have said Walmart is destroying America, and Walmart is doing this, and Walmart is doing that. But what I find most fascinating is that while the poster child for entrepreneurialism in America is really Bill Gates and has been for the last decade or more, and I don't begrudge Bill that position,
mm-hmm.
Sam Walton is a fabulous example of something, in a sense, much more doable and achievable for all the rest of us.
I agree with you. As much as Walmart is hated by a lot of small businesses because he does add, when Walmart comes to town, it does add a lot of challenges to small businesses, and many small businesses actually have been able to or have claimed that he was their undoing, that Walmart was their undoing.
Mm-hmm.
I still say that it's more a matter of not understanding how to compete with Walmart, which I think you can actually do. But the thing is that but regardless of all that, I agree with you. The reason I think that Sam is even more of a poster child than Bill Gates is because of the way he had to leverage his dream. He couldn't just, you can't download a Walmart product. You got to go get it.
Exactly. And also what I think is fabulous about the Sam Walton story is Bill Gates stumbled into the beginning of a true revolution.
Right.
A brand new industry didn't exist, had to be invented. Mm-hmm. And it needed a virtual monopoly operating system to make it work.
Mm-hmm. So almost a utility.
Yeah, absolutely. Because everybody's machines needed to talk to everybody's machines
mm-hmm.
to make this useful in the end. And the hand of fate picked, and a lot of hard work, picked
yep.
Bill Gates
yep.
to do this. But Sam Walton started a little retail store. Now, there are millions and millions of little retail
mm-hmm.
stores in America. And the question is, why is Sam's little retail store now selling $300 billion a year?
Worldwide. Yeah. Well, think about the comments that people said to him. Mr. Sam, you don't think you're going to compete with Kmart, do you? How are you going to compete with Penny's and Sears? You must be crazy.
Exactly.
Because they were already there. They were established.
Exactly.
And now those companies are on the run.
Right. Instead of seeing the insurmountable obstacles, which are always easy to see, Sam Walton saw the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw them in a very basic, fundamental way. There's nothing
yeah.
complex
mm-hmm.
or rocket science about saying, I'm going to beat these people on price.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it by watching my own expenses
mm-hmm.
very, very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say he was going to do it by taking unfair advantage of his vendors. Most of his major vendors he made rich right alongside
right,
himself.
Exactly.
One of the fellows I've met recently had a little business that was doing $800,000 when he took it over.
Yeah.
And largely due to his relationship with Walmart.
Hold, Kirk. I'm sorry. We got to stop. Folks, when we come back. We've got more to come with our good friend Kirk Chapins. Stay with us. It's 10 till. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, small business advocate. Kirk Chapins is our guest. Kirk Chapins, C-H-E-Y-F-I-T-Z. How you spell his last name is almost as hard to spell as Blasingame. And it's the book is called Thinking Inside the Box, folks. And I'll tell you, this is another one of those books that there are a few books that I tell you that you need that I recommend you buy, because if I didn't have them on my show, I wouldn't recommend them. But there's some books I say don't put on your bookshelf, put them on your desk. And this is one of those. It'll help you with the fundamentals. He talks about how to think inside the box, how to get back to profits, how to focus on cash flow, how to get control of the bottom line, how to make sure your customers are the boss. There's so many excellent points in your book, Kirk, and again, I want to congratulate you on making that available to my audience.
Thanks very much, Jim.
And Joe, finish your story about the guy.
Well, let me just leave it. Since we left everyone hanging with what did he turn this $800,000 business into, the answer is $300 million.
Is that all? Is that all?
That's
And all because was, all because of Walmart?
It was largely due to Walmart. He had
yeah,
a number,
yeah.
He acquired a number of other large customers.
But
Walmart
he had
was his
to,
largest.
In order to do that, though, he had to perform. Because Mr. Sam didn't suffer fools or slackers gladly, did he?
Exactly. And this particular guy was one of Walmart's best vendors, which
yeah.
means he got excellent products to Walmart
right.
on time, no excess inventory, just all, but also you never run out. As Mr. Sam said, if we ever run out, make sure it's our fault, not yours.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sam Walton was a guy who paid attention to fundamentals. Paid attention to keeping his own people happy, to keeping his vendors happy, to keeping costs down at all costs, if that was his religion, and to knowing what was going on. Sam Walton, no matter how big that company got, and it still goes on today, I forget if it's a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning meeting. I think it used to be Saturday morning.
We used to do this kind of stuff at Sears back in the 70s and 60s when I worked there. But Kirk, before we go, I want to talk about some quickly for a couple of minutes about how small business owners can compete with Walmart.
Absolutely.
And not put Walmart out of business and not go out of business yourself. Folks, people are going to Walmart for what they need. They need to come to you for what they want.
I think that's absolutely right. And they also, Walmart is running at a scale where service is just not possible.
Right.
You may
exactly
get greeted
right.
with a smile,
mm-hmm.
but you don't get held by the hand and taken down the aisles. And at those margins, Walmart can't afford to walk you down the aisles. You're pretty much on your own when you walk into Walmart.
What I like to think about, I've tried to boil this down to the simplest terms, Kirk, and people need to eat, but they want to dine. People need shelter, but they want a home. People need clothing, but they want a look.
Mm-hmm.
And so Walmart gives them what they need in commodity fashion. You give them what they want in special, customized fashion. That's how small business owners compete with any of the big boxes, whether it be Lowe's or Home Depot or Walmart or any of them.
I believe it is personalization, customization, and delivering service.
Yep.
Delivering value added. And value added in an age when most things are becoming commodities. Value added is always, I believe, one of two things. It's either information or it's service.
Mm-hmm.
And they can usually be equated with the two. And the information can be, this is how you use this thing. This will enhance your appreciation of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wine shop owner who really knows wine.
There are people who want to save money, and they're going to go to Walmart.
Exactly.
But more and more people want to save time, and if I want to, and see, I buy almost nothing from Walmart because I want to save time. And,
right.
And I would rather save time most of the time rather than money. And I don't mean I don't want to save hundreds of dollars, but rather than save $2, I'd rather save 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And so I'm looking for the small business that can help me with that.
Right. And that's all about service and personalized service.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way to compete with Walmart. It's the way to compete with any of these large chains. And I believe, since my business is the publishing business fundamentally, I spend a lot of time thinking about Barnes & Noble
mm-hmm.
and what they are doing to their shelves as they go increasingly into mass market products,
mm-hmm.
products that they create themselves, reprints of the classics
mm-hmm.
that they don't have to pay royalties
mm-hmm.
for, lots of things that aren't books, little
mm-hmm.
calendars, and all kinds of junk. What they're doing is they're opening up brand new, wonderful opportunities for independent booksellers.
Absolutely. No question about it. When one door opens, one door closes, a window opens. Kirk Chaffetz, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
And we'll see you next time. Kirk Chaffetz, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called Thinking Inside the Box. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.